Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Ashcast for the week of March 26, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us with we have Chris.
Hello.
Joe.
What are you waiting for? The signal.
And Brian.
You either get busy living or you get busy dying.
Thanks, Morgan Freeman.
Swam.
So, why don't we get right into the show, because I think we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. And with show and tell, so Brian, I know you've been watching something.
Yes, actually you can see it up on the site. We're doing the Mad Men Season 5 recap, and I did the first episode, which I wrote about 1,000 words.
I don't even write that much.
I was like, oh my god, when's this gonna end? And I haven't even gotten to the part where I talk about how good it is.
Actually, I should probably go check the first episode of 24, season 8. It was like 2 hours long. I think I might have wrote like 800 words or 900 words.
But it's like, yeah, it's crazy. I don't think the other episodes will have that much, but, because it's basically just talking about the season 4 finale and what's changed in season 5.
Mm-hmm.
Just long story short, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was great. Just glad to have the show back. It feels like it hasn't really missed a beat.
Hear, hear.
I'm very excited for season 5. And, if this recap thing goes well, I plan on doing the final season of Breaking Bad when that premieres. And, possibly picking up, Walking Dead recaps as well.
Oh man. So, watch out, EV Club.
Exactly. That's exactly where I'm getting my inspiration from, by the way, so full disclosure. But
we're slightly less pretentious, but
yeah, actually, yeah, you know, they've reeled it in. I mean sometimes they review episodes of Community and act like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
It was like 10 paragraphs of just like, I think it was like last week's episode of Community where it's like going off on it.
You just, the best thing to do with those theirs is just to skim.
Yeah.
But just some stuff I forgot to mention the last time I was on. I watched the first two episodes of Awake, and officially out on that show. I didn't watch the third episode. It's just, does it have to be so damn procedural, or, you know, does it have to be like a Law and Order show? It's like it has a good concept. It has, good acting. I think the lead guy, Jason Isaacs, is like a John Hamm light and does it well. But the whole thing with he has to solve a crime and his son's in danger in the first
two
one.
Two crimes, Ryan. Two crimes every week.
Two crimes in one. And it gets Ooh-ha. Really confusing. And I hated the reveal or semi-reveal at the end of the second episode. Like, oh, no. Maybe it's somebody's planned this whole thing from the beginning, and it's like it doesn't need that. You have
they don't even mention that in the third episode.
The pilot just sums up everything that could be potentially good about the show, and then it just kind of veers off the cliff with the second episode. I didn't even bother watching the third.
It probably would have been an awesome movie.
It would have been a great movie. That is true. Like I said, I'm probably out on that.
I think it's getting horrible reviews. Like, it's getting horrible ratings, I think, too. So,
yeah, I think it's not coming back, too. So there's another reason.
Good job, NBC.
Yeah, well done. And I also saw Drive with Ryan Gosling. You have to have a certain mindset when you watch this movie. It is not your prototypical action movie in the slightest. You have to have that kind of art film sensibility at the beginning in the back of your head. It doesn't really have much of a conclusion. A lot of people were disappointed about it. It kind of drags. But aesthetically, it's a good movie. I like the soundtrack. I like the cinematography. I like Ryan Gosling in this type of role. I really wish he would do more movies like this. And it was good, but I can see why people are kind of disappointed on it being – it should be more. And I know a lot of people were talking about Albert Brooks for the Oscar, but I thought he was great, but I didn't see anything that was particularly Oscar-worthy about his performance at all. In fact, if you're gonna think about Albert Brooks, then Ron Perlman would probably also have to be considered. I thought he was good in that too. But yeah, I mean, it's worth a rent if you're bored. But you know, we tried to do it as a date movie because she likes Ryan Gosling and didn't really work out.
Especially,
it's actually kind of bloody.
Yeah,
too,
like
so.
Especially with like smashing people's faces in it and stuff.
Are you sure you've seen it with The Notebook? I mean, that's a date movie.
Well, that's where she gets the Ryan Gosling from. But yeah, I did like that when he kicked that guy's face, and I thought that was pretty fucking awesome. But there's not a lot of that kind of moment. He just mostly broods and looks cool as all hell. But that's basically it. I mean, it's worth checking out, but you gotta have a certain mindset for it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of like remind me of like all the backlash for No Country for Old Men. That movie kind of does a bit of a 180 towards the end. It kind of switches focus, which I personally really like that movie. But you know, a lot of people are expecting more of like kind of a chase movie, which for the most part it is. But that kind of dramatic shift can turn people off.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Brian?
And Walking Dead finale was fantastic.
Yep.
I'm more excited for season 3. Can't wait. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. Chris, what about you?
I recently saw The Hunger Games.
So did I.
Yeah, what did you think about it?
My review just went up like an hour ago, but I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was good too.
It didn't blow me away or anything, but it was good.
I just been spoiled by first someone explained like the book years ago, like when it first came out. So I was like, okay, like I've seen a movie like this, and it's Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Like I saw Battle Royale. If you see the thing is Battle Royale, like it's an R-rated movie, so it's like really bloody. It's just like awkward to watch, but it's kind of like what you expect would happen when you tell like a bunch of people like, okay, fight to the death. In this movie, it's like half of them are prepared to kill already, so it's like that awkward, like, here are all these innocent, nice people getting killed off in the first fight.
Yeah.
And the rest is just, like, kind of like a long, drawn-out cat-and-mouse game, which I don't mind watching. Like, that's cool, but it's not, like, vicious, and especially when you can't tell when the camera is just, like, everywhere during that, like...
Yeah.
Because, okay...
Like, have you read the books at all?
I've read, like, half of the first one.
Because, like, in the books, it's, like, super violent and...
Right, and that's what I was expecting, like... I mean, that's what I'm expecting when half the competitors are kind of, like, aggressive, and the rest are just like, fuck, I'm in this game, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's, like, it's got to be PG-13, so you can't show people, like, getting, like, their throats cut open and neck snapping. And
like, yeah, face smashed against. Which is, like, it's brutal, I get it, but... I mean, it's like, if you want to tell 13-year-olds not to fucking kill each other, like, it seemed like it was okay with murder for some of the fight scenes, you know? It's just like, it's justified.
Well,
you're in a situation,
like,
justified.
You're, like, shaking the camera around so you couldn't really see you that much, and then, like, cut away right before everything, like, right before they get stabbed, it's, like, cut away. And then you see, like, the body falling afterwards.
Oh, not even that. It's like that dash for your weapon scene,
mm-hmm.
You know, when, they actually, after the training montage of, like, a week, and there's just, like, really random training things. Like, it's like, okay, so everyone from these 12 districts get put into this weird reality show kind of punishment.
It's reality show slash gladiator battle slash sporting event, I guess.
Slash dogfight. So... it's kind of a very weird dystopia future that's organized and disorganized at the same time. So it's kind of cool that like there are political messages, but they get really confusing midway in the movie. Like, in every kind of survival movie like this, there's always like a group that goes for the like, let's make an alliance.
Yeah.
You know? Especially when all the strong kids team up together and they go against all the weak kids.
Yeah. All the kind of douchey kids in high school.
Oh my god. Every cliche teamed that, up.
Like,
there's a strong, handsome jock.
The main douchebag. Like, know? If this is the 80s, the main douchebag you play by Billy Zabka.
Put a fucking, yeah. like, varsity jacket. Yeah. Oh man, driving, like, a Camaro yep. or something.
With, like, aviators.
Oh my god. And just, like, hang in front of a fucking soda shop.
7-Eleven or something.
7-Eleven. Picking on, like, the foreign kid or yeah. something. It's funny because all those cliches come together, especially when, oh, man, like, when he has his, like, quasi-girlfriend, the other archer mm-hmm. girl, when she's, and then she gets visually killed by Wasp. That was, like, pretty cool to show. There's this part where the main character, Katniss, she drops a wasp net onto her pursuers and... And, like, she gets really high from... She gets, like, a hallucination from these wasp venom. And there's another thing I couldn't figure out. Maybe I skipped this part in the book. How long does the game last?
It can go on for weeks, I think, or months. It just... It goes until...
I think it's
it
like...
It goes until someone... there's one person left.
There right. There can be only one.
Like, I think they mentioned in the book there's, like, one that went on for, like, months because, like, the two last guy... People just, like, camped, like, miles away from each other and just didn't move.
And that's another thing. There's no urgency because most of the things that they release are like you can outrun it. It was either fire or animals or something.
It's just like yeah, it's like drive you back toward the other people.
Right, and I understand that. And the thing about Battle Royale, since I've been spoiled by that, is in Battle Royale they had dynamite like explosive collars. So if you didn't follow the rules, you just die instantly. Mm-hmm. So it's like it really pushes you into like okay, I need to go murder the shit out of these people. But here, it's like, oh, relax. It's kind of like, all right, yeah, we'll just, like, slowly edge them to the other people. So for, like, maybe 30 minutes, you just see the other characters, like, wandering around, and then, like, oh, I should go back to this kill zone or something. Especially the part where she blows up all the food. Mm-hmm. And there's that, like, ginger girl that is, all she does in the whole game is run around and steal shit. Or, like, take things.
Yeah.
In the end, it's like, oh... This is what happened.
It's pretty good strategy.
It's pretty good strategy, but it's funny how she died. I'm not gonna ruin it, but it's like, haha. Overall, I can't wait to see the sequel, though. I know
it definitely get like. Well, I think the third one's probably actually the first one's probably the best one, then the third one after that because the third one's just like straight up like war, like rebellion, war, Star Wars sort of thing.
I'm fine with that. This is what like logical sequels should do. They shouldn't repeat the formulas. That's all. Here's a Battle Royale 2 try to repeat the formula, but just ended up being like unwatchable. That's why no one talks about it. So
talks about what, Chris?
Oh, like they like in Battle Royale they encourage Al Qaeda to like
yeah.
It's so fucked up near the end of Battle Royale 2. What happens is the survivors of the first Battle Royale, like, they team up with, like, other survivors of the other, like, Battle Royale programs, and they encourage terrorism around the world to, like, disrupt order. It's so fucked up when you think about it as a, like...
That's what I would have done.
As a, like, a logical, like, oh, shit, like, this is such a global terrorism that you can see why, like, they have Battle Royale. But anyway, different movie. In this, it's like, you know, it's a good... foundation to branch off. If they ever do like a TV show spinoff, who knows? I hope they don't, but
well, I mean
coming to Nick Jr.
Hunger Games Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Be like Watchmen Babies.
Well, what I like about this is there's enough adult content to keep it within a like always a preteen realm. Like they can't water it down to present it to like a younger group. It's always at like 15 and plus group range, yeah. You know? So, I know that people are trying to, like, say this is, like, in that Twilight genre, but I hope not.
It's not.
That's another thing. Some people want to go see The Hunger Games, and they want to go see it just for, like, that Twilight teaser.
Oh, my God. I hate those people.
There's a teaser? Oh, I missed it.
Oh, thank God. there was one girl who just came in to watch that tease, and then she got up and left. And I was like, that's sad.
That girl's awesome. Good for her.
It was right after the Snow White and the Hunter trailer, so...
Double Kristen Stewart.
When that... Yeah, I know, it was like... As soon as that ended, then the teaser trailer showed. And I was like, go back to fighting the witch. I remember screaming, like, go back to fighting the witch, Kristen Stewart. Go back in the damn forest.
Instead of, like, awkwardly, like, popping behind a tree to, like, kill a deer.
Not even. She just stares at it.
She just, like, appears behind a tree.
Right.
I think the deer kills itself when it sees her.
Probably.
So, yeah, Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth go seeing. You get to see the lesser spawn of the Hemsworthy family, Liam Hemsworthy.
Even though he's not in it for like barely any I'm sure they hopefully they expand on him in like the later movies because he has like a more important role in the later books.
Right, right.
All he does is like stare like intensely at things in this movie for like a couple scenes.
Or he's like watching TV and just like discerningly like looking away like oh
yeah,
so. And people are praising Lenny Kravitz's performance as if he's doing, like, a big major acting role.
It was so weird.
I don't mind it, because I forgot Lenny Kravitz was in it. Then he was in it, and I was like, oh, that's Lenny Kravitz. Okay. And all I kept thinking was, like, different songs. I'm like, this is the guy that sings, like, American Woman, and he's here, he's trying to help this, like, female gladiator. Okay.
I'll help you, but you have to go my way.
Right.
Remember, if you're always facing danger, you've got to fly away.
That's pretty much what it's like. And then that's as much screen time as like a Lenny Kravitz song is how much he's on screen. And then that's it. I imagine in the sequel he plays a bigger role, possibly.
Good
Woody Harrelson, man. He there's a lot of like co-star action that really brings the movie together.
Yeah.
Like Harrelson's character, he goes up to being this like belligerent drunk to actually a competent man that helps the main character.
He's secretly an awesome like strategist, but he's just like constantly drunk.
Right, I know.
So. Got to drink away the pain of the last when I won the Hunger Games. And apparently, it was like
that was like almost years ago.
I can't remember like exactly what happened, but it was like one of the most horrible Hunger Games ever. Like around.
Well, I imagine that was back when like there was less rules.
I think they were in like a desert arena. And, like, no one had water. So we're just, like, really, like died dehydration.
That's all they didn't explain was the terrain and how they fight. That was, that everything was, like, generated. Like, everything was, like, kind of monitored, too. Like, it was artificial.
Yeah, they put, like, a force field over, like, an area. And then they, like, just pick, like, what area they want to have them in.
I would have loved to know more about the rest of the world. I didn't even know where they fought. They were just there.
Thank God they had
mockingbirds. Like, what are the odds?
Yeah, well, it's like...
Like, that became a pivotal point of the movie.
That's sort of like, they explained it more in the book. But, like, one of the things about the movie that I liked was that they expanded more on, like, how the game works and stuff. And, like, more, like, the backstage stuff. Because, like, in the book, it's all from Katniss's perspective. So she's just like, what's going on? Oh, I'm just going to have to run away from this. In the movie, you're like, you actually get to see like them like launching the fire, or launching the dogs or whatever. So
it's a trade off, you know. It's a trade off between. I mean, I guess if I read the book completely, then watch the movie, mm-hmm. I can get both perspectives because it's pretty accurate to what I kind of read up to, and then someone explained at the end, and then what I saw. So
yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much
every major event from the book is in the movie. And they just like alter, minor characters aren't in it, and they alter some events, but it's mostly like the book and the movie.
It's something too different. Where like if you read a novelization of Star Wars and they didn't introduce Han, and it's like what's all these confusing scenes in the next few Star Wars? You're like what? Who?
Yeah.
Huh? I did like how in the following week that this movie came out, it's like everyone's kind of upset about people's colors and stuff, people's race.
God.
That was it's crazy. Everyone's complaining about like this girl's too black, or this, or like
Spider-Man all over again.
This doesn't make sense. I know, but it's weird. It really brings out these closet racists mm-hmm. out of nowhere.
That was a great. Have you seen Don Glover's like stand-up routine? He does an awesome bit about how, like he was just like joke
Black Spider-Man.
Just like joke about how he's gonna be Spider-Man. People were just like he's like read some of the internet comments and they're just like, what?
Yeah, that's funny.
It's pretty much that. If one of these actresses turned around and was like, what are they saying about me? I'm just 13. What the fuck? So, and then to top that off, I saw recently SWAT Firefight. Oh man. Let me tell you about a decline in movie experiences. For those not familiar with the SWAT franchise, the movie's about a SWAT team. And unlike the first SWAT movie, it has no Samuel Jackson and no Colin Farrell. In fact, it doesn't have anyone from the first movie at all.
Is it even in the city?
In the beginning, it's in LA. No. It's in LA for the first five
minutes. Okay. Then they go like Chicago or something, or
yeah, they go to Detroit, and it's funny because the first scene is about a really weird like drug deal gone wrong inside some like 17-year-old's house. He's having like a massive drug field party, and then a bunch of like his dealers show up and like demand money, and then SWAT shows up, and then that's when you meet their main character, what's his face, Gabriel Mach,
the spirit.
The spirit.
So,
yeah, that's what I know, like, oh, okay. Like,
it's that kind of movie.
He shows up, and he's like, he leads his one-man SWAT team, basically, to take down these people. And it ends pretty fast. It ends up with, like, no casualties, which is hilarious, because there's this really tense standoff scene between, like, this main drug dealer and this hostage. And he shoots his hand with, basically, a military-grade water balloon. I'm not even making this up.
Huh?
It's like a grenade, like cluster can that when upon impact, instead of like actual like force, water disperses. And this is the first and only time
right.
You see this.
They use that. I can't remember what movie they used that in, but I remember they used it in a movie or something.
It seemed pretty cool, and I thought it would be like this pivotal like weapon, and they only use it once during this whole freaking movie. So. I'm like, wait a minute, you have a bullet that does really, like, simple, instead of, like, a beanbag, like, it just shoots water, like, a one powerful water fist, and then just, we have that. Let's never use or mention this again. I was like, oh, okay, well, cool. The main character just, like, then transfers to L.A., I mean, from L.A. to Chicago to help a Chicago SWAT team. Like turn stuff around to get like a FBI grade hostage rescue team like ranking, which I guess like it happens in the real world, but it's like they go through the little bit of the how it works. And so he has 2 weeks to train this team of like five guys. And as soon as he like joins his new SWAT team, there's like a tough guy, like every cliche I can think of is on this team except for like a cripple. There's like a tough black guy that is from the hood. There's a tough Hispanic dude that doesn't, like, respect authority and that always thinks he's in charge. There's, like, a clumsy, like, fat guy that is always eating, like, crap. And there's, like, a musclehead guy that can, like, his bench, like, is like, I can bench 300 pounds. Like, out of nowhere he mentions that. And so he's supposed to train these guys to get that ranking. And so he basically retrains them in all these methods that I don't know why they argue with them about all the ways he's trained them, because it's like, well, he has the ranking. He's showing you guys how to do it so you guys can get the ranking. And they, like, give him lip for it. And so the tough Hispanic guy that's, like, the quasi-leader challenges this, you know, the FBI ranking guy, which I mentioned now is Paul Cutler. And he challenges him, and he loses, and he cuts him from the team. So, like, any kind of, like, resolute of them ever like coming to terms is out the window already. You know, it's like he belittles this like other this like tough guy, and it's like, okay, well, in your face, you're out of the team. And then it's like, wait, so he doesn't become like, there's no like unison, like, no, it's just out of the team, and the movie just moves on. And then they introduce the main villain, which is Robert Patrick, for no reason.
Yeah.
He will be in any movie these days. I don't know what happened. He comes straight out of the Marine, from what I remember from the trailer, you know? He's like wearing a... not quite. He's actually the equivalent of Jack Bauer.
Okay.
except he's Jack Bauer with a really obsessive, abusive relationship. What happens is Robert Patterson is this guy named Walter Hatch, who is is basically a super spy, but he has a really obsessive like a really big obsession on this like random like insurance woman, and like follows her and then kidnaps her like in her own office, and the SWAT team comes in to try to like calm him down. So, but then they wrangle his gun away. And then they like realize that the real like trouble person is the girl he's obsessed with because she kills herself, and so that sets him up to like put revenge on the SWAT team. You know, like it's such a weird
player.
It seemed like this weird like this is from a different movie, you know, kind of feeling, because it's like up until this point it seemed like a standard like action cop movie, and then it's out of nowhere it becomes a weird like. I don't know. Say like a weird crazy guy with a vengeance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And basically, he uses Robert Patterson contacts all like his mercenary friends to go kill like this whole SWAT team, and it's actually like there's like the little this is one weird scene between the main character Robert Patrick. They have a tough guy. Talk on the phone where both of the men are practicing shooting, and they always throwing one line tough guys lines at each other. So it's like, I'll get you for this. I got a bullet of your name on it. And they're just like saying that cliche shit while they're firing guns at different gun ranges. It's weird because one guy would say tough shit and then shoot a gun, and the other guy would say something tough and then shoot his gun.
I thought you were going to say it would say, like, gay shit. That would have been funny. It's like, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to suck your dick. What? You heard me. Hey, whoa, man. What?
Yeah, while that's happening, they're shooting guns. Like, so in the background's like, like, I got a bullet with your name. Bam, bam, bam. You're going to like that, aren't you? Like, it's so... just
like, banging each other's girlfriends later, still talking dirty to each other. Like, yeah, this is going to be you.
Oh. Then it leads to this really weird, what I like to call budget endings, where most of the movie's budget has gone to like the beginning, where like all the explosions and like montage scenes have happened, and so their final fight is usually within a warehouse or an empty office building or something like that. Like, it's so like, what? Everything's been like this exaggerant like city like chase scenes or like weird montages of them like lifting things in a gym and like with people. Now they're like in a empty
Walmart
yard.
Parking lot.
Yeah, it's just like it's such a perfect like they blow so much because they did. The opening first two acts of the movie are very over the top with like action and like city budgets and traffic control to like make film these scenes. And so they have no money to film the climax, so that's like, oh well, there's like an empty warehouse that we just gotta scare a bunch of hobos out of. And we'll film the final fight here. And, like, it's at the end, almost half the team is killed off or, like, injured. So, like, Gabriel Mock has to fight. Actually, doesn't really fight Robert Patrick. He just kind of, like, tackles him. And then he shoots this, like, C4 explosive vest that kills him out of a window. I thought it'd be this long, drawn-out fight, and it just turns out, oh, just tackle him and push him. And that's it. And that's how the movie ends. And it's just like, besides the closure, just like, well, I guess whoever lived during this whole thing is certified now. The end. That's it. That's how he certifies the team. Like, two guys, basically. The two guys who survived.
Whoever didn't die is the best.
Right. Actually, the people who lived... One guy, he fell like three stories onto a truck, and it's like, well, he'll live, but he's not being SWAT anymore.
Or it's walking. Like,
or walk. So the guy is just like, oh. But they're all certified, by the way. Mm-hmm. Bye. And he goes back to LA. And that's how the movie ends. I was like, huh? Like, I thought I skipped the scene because it's like, that's it. I was like, huh. Goddamn firefight. So yeah. It's like up and it's like it, like the movie was so bad the movie wasn't that bad up until they really introduced the main villain, and I couldn't believe, like, the only villain was Robert Patrick, and he wasn't doing anything that villainous, you know? You're just, like, being a dick.
Yeah.
And then it's like, ah, my girlfriend killed herself in front of you, so I'm gonna kill everyone who was involved. It's like, oh, that's your plan? And it takes, like, at least 4 or 5 days for that to actually happen. So, not that bad. A little drawn out explaining it, but, man.
As usual.
It's a weird movie. Yeah.
Say anything else, Chris?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Joe, what about you?
I saw the girl with the dragon tattoo. Yeah, they got that out of their system in the opening credits, which was good. Because if not, every time I heard a, you know, emo-esque Trent Reznor bass line, I was going to be listening for... So I'm glad they got that out of the way to begin with.
Do you agree that's like the weirdest like James Bond opening ever?
Yes, it is. It's like if James Bond was...
It's like leather. Like a leather fetish.
It's like...
Leather oil fetish.
It's like if James Bond crashed his Aston Martin through the front of, like, Glenn Danzig's house during a, like, liquid witch orgy. I have no idea how to even describe it. It was just really weird. It looked kind of like that commercial with, like, the Hershey's family, where everyone's, like, made out of chocolate,
yeah.
But instead it's, like, demon cum or whatever they're supposed to be in. Like, it was
a
really...
A woman getting raped by, like, USB ports and stuff and mouse...
Yeah. It was interesting. Anyway, haven't read the books, mainly because I'm, you know, a man. I don't read young adult fiction.
It's not really a
But I love comic books. What happened?
It's not really adult fiction.
No, but by that same token, like, that's who likes it.
I think it's,
and
like,
the only reason it's
Housewives.
I don't know, man.
It's like, same people, like, who read Da Vinci Code. Or, like, they moved
out, absolutely. For sure. Oh, I saw this book on a bus stop. It must be good. But if Homeboy didn't kill himself or mysteriously die, the author... The Swede who wrote the books, the Millennium Trilogy. I did some Wikipediaing in case you couldn't tell. The first book was actually called Men Who Hate Women.
Yeah.
And then somehow that got changed into The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Because she has a dragon tattoo.
So, well, yeah, but that also just shows, like, the American audience's, like, attention span. Like, Men Who Hate Women, it really gets to the forefront of the idea and doesn't pussyfoot around, which is kind of nice. But with this one, it's like, the girl with the dragon tattoo, go on. Like, I want to know what happens, you know?
Does this person hate women too?
Yeah, seriously. Like, Men Who Hate Women, that's just, like, American life. Like, that's not really interesting. Like, you don't want to really, like, read about that, I guess. So, the movie itself, I can't really speak for how faithful it was to the book, and I've yet to watch the Netflix, like, foreign movies that are... apparently, one set of them was made for TV.
Yeah, and, like,
movies.
Finland or...
Yeah, and then the other is, like, actual, like, theatrical releases. So, like, one series is actually pretty decent, the other is, like, really not decent. So, I haven't really gotten around to that yet. Overall, I thought this movie was pretty pretty good. I mean, I don't know if it necessarily lived up to the hype, in my opinion, just because they made it seem like it was, like, you know, the next coming of Christ with a soundtrack by Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Daniel Craig, as usual, is pretty solid. I happen to like him a lot as an actor. His, you know... He was, if you like Daniel Craig, he doesn't change it up, so it's still him.
He wears glasses in this one.
He does. He looks very sophisticated. But overall, it was cool. Like, the story-wise, I'm not sure if they really changed anything from the book or not, but, I mean, the twists and revelations you kind of see coming, like, a mile and a half away. So it wasn't so much of a gasp as much as it was a, oh, finally, okay, well... Thanks.
That took 2 hours.
Yeah, so it took 2.5 hours to, like, get that out of the way. It's like, oh, it's the creepy European guy who likes to hunt women. Well, didn't know that.
One of the 10 creepy European men on the island.
Oh, seriously. Everyone is, like, somehow related to, like, Vincent Price.
Or Nazis, or...
Like Nazi Vincent Price fans, or, like... It's just really weird. Like, nobody's normal. It's like, who's that? Oh, that's Jeff. He rents the cottage. He's a pretty chill guy, you know. He keeps to himself.
He likes goats.
You know? Yeah, like, oh, he, you know, he has a garden. Like, he'll come out to get the newspaper. He's pretty friendly. No one like that. It's like, oh, that's Dietrich von Bundpoffer. He's a Nazi with an estranged daughter, and he's allergic to the sun. Like, there are all these, like, weird, like, conditional circumstances that, I don't know. It just seemed a little too elaborate at times, but whatever. I mean, that's how he wrote it. But... Again, I was a fan of the movie. Glad I didn't rush out to see it in theaters. You know, good liberal use of boobs, which is always a plus. Women using sex as a weapon, that's nothing really new. So, yeah, good times. Overall, I know where it's going, and I know most people with internet access and/or an imagination can figure out, you know, where it's going now. So I wasn't, like, pissed off by the ending, like I know some people were. Like, I think that's the only way it can end. You know, unless there's, like, a trailer for the sequel already canned that nobody knows about, then it could have ended that way. But, you know, supposedly they're filming The Girl Who Played with Fire. They're filming that in the fall, and they may go back-to-back for the girl who kicked the hornet's nest or whatever. I might be messing up the order, but they might shoot 2 and 3 back-to-back, so that would be kind of cool. Overall, I'd recommend this movie now that the hype has died down a little bit. I think it'd be a good, like, on-demand sort of rental, like, if you can't find anything else. Like, mm-hmm. It's got good pacing for a mystery, like, especially if you haven't read the books yet and don't know what's coming and you've avoided, like, spoilers. You know, it's one of those, like, average person mysteries where you could watch it and be like, I knew it, and, like, feel really smart, like, fulfilled. Yeah. It's not one of those movies where your girlfriend will be like, wait, so why did he kill him? You know? I hate those movies. Like, when I'm by myself, it's fine, but when you're watching movies with, like, and it doesn't have to be a girlfriend, I mean, it could be anyone, like, you know, whatever.
Your boyfriend,
you're the gentleman you met at the bus station bathroom, like, whoever. But... I just hate those movies where people have to, like, confer during it and be like, no, I think this happened.
Let's compare notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get our clue scorecards out.
Yeah, like, if I have to go onto Wikipedia after a movie ends to be like, oh, well, the movie clearly didn't do its job.
Yeah.
You know, so overall, that cool stuff. Check it out. In addition to that, I watched another weird documentary, as is my niche now, apparently. I might be doing it a gross injustice here, but I think it's called Fall from Grace. And it's one of those Red Envelope Netflix-produced docs. It's about the Westboro Baptist Church in a good old-fashioned Kansas. They're that church that has all the protest signs that say, like, God loves dead soldiers, or, like, mm-hmm. God, you know, God hates fags, all that stuff. It was a really horrifying experience, because, like, that basically is the most brazen example we have of, like, what a cult is. So, like, if you watch that, it's like, God damn it, like, this has to be, like, out of a movie, or out of some sort of weird, like, fucking... deleted Resident Evil 4, like, side quest or something. But, yeah, it was just really brutal to watch. So, if you're fascinated with, religion, like, in a sociological sense, like, how it makes people act and, like, how it makes people do crazy shit, definitely check it out. And I have to say, these Red Envelope, documentaries, like, from the two I've seen, the other being Super Jaime, like, they're actually pretty well done. Like, I thought it would be like a guy with a handy cam. Like, hi, I'm Ben. I work for Netflix, and I'm making a movie about leaks. or like, I'm documenting every day for 30 days at my local dog park. Like, they're actually kind of, they're actually pretty well done and entertaining. So, well done there.
Awesome.
Well done there. I suppose. How about you, old chum?
That's it for you, Joe? Okay. Well, besides Hunger Games, which, I think I just mentioned quick, Jennifer Lawrence is awesome in it. We didn't say that, Chris, but...
I just called her Mystique during the whole movie.
Or Raven.
Yeah. But go on.
Yeah, and my review is up on the site if you want to go check that out in more depth. And then besides that, I watched the probably series finale of The River.
Aw, already?
Yeah. Which, I don't know. I don't really care either way about that show. I was pot committed, cause, like, 4 episodes in, so I was like, it's only 8 episodes, I might as well just watch the whole thing.
Let me tell you about American Horror Story.
American Horror Story was probably more, like, probably more entertaining, just cause it's so insane.
Jesus. Man, what happened to The River then?
It's, like, there were some cool ideas in it, like, especially the first couple episodes where they went to, like, the tree that had all the baby dolls in it, and it was, like, the evil drowned child spirit that, like, wanted to kill them. But then, like, the last couple of those was, like, oh, we stumbled upon this zombie outpost in the middle of the rainforest. And then, like...
That makes sense.
And then, the season/series finale was, just the entire episode was basically just, like, them performing exorcism. Because one of them gets possessed by the evil spirit of the river.
You sure it wasn't one of those parasites that crawls up your dick hole when you piss in the Amazon?
No. It was like...
Those are real,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know they are. That's probably scarier than the demon...
Any movie ever? Yeah, man. I won't piss in a pool now because of that shit.
It's got like it comes in and goes, it has like spikes in it, and then you can't pull it out or else it'll rip the inside out, so you have to like cut the whole thing off.
Yep. If you need proof that there's a such thing as the devil, there it is. And he made that.
Bintu or something, I think it's called. I don't know. It's pretty scary.
I don't know. I try not to think about it.
No, but yeah, so exorcism, trying to get like the evil. Because like, they're on like the offshoot of the Amazon, which is like called the Buntu, like the Batuna or something, or I can't remember.
We'll just call it the Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. So, like, the Electric Boogaloo is, like, possesses one of the people. Seriously, it's, like, exorcises them out. Like, the only cool thing was that they actually found Bruce Greenwood, so that he was part of the show now.
Sweet.
They actually, like, probably, like, the best episode was, like, it was just an episode, of, like, where they were watching, like, his, like, found footage that they found. They found footage and a found footage show.
Aw, man. Seriously?
Yeah. It was like his crazy, like, his expedition that, like, went horribly. Like, he and, like, his two cameramen, like, went into, they're trying to find, like, the source of, like, because he thinks, like, the source of all magic is, like, in this, like, river, where, like, these, like, crazy Amazon tribes people, like, have, like, the source of magic.
Oh, clearly.
So, like, he's, like, trying to find them, and then, like, freaking... Katie from Paranormal Activity is, like, one of his cameramen, and she's, like, abandoned him. She's like, I can't do this anymore! And she, like, runs off with all the supplies.
Oh my god, can she not be a crazy bitch?
Apparently not.
Is it just, like, mandatory that she's in found footage shit now?
Probably.
Okay. She's like, it's in my contract, I only do found footage. Mm-hmm. I only do FFs.
Paranormal Activity 4.
Katie's back.
Guess she's back. Seems
like a rabbit or something in the river. But anyway, I don't know. I don't really care. I think like Netflix is saying they might like if it gets canceled, they might like try to have it on or something. But
didn't they say that about Terra Nova?
They passed
Terra Nova.
They passed Terra Nova now, so Terra Nova is basically dead. I don't,
we hardly knew you, Terra Nova.
Like, I don't,
we hardly knew you.
If you're bored, like, if it's on Netflix and you're bored, one time, like, sometime on a weekend, it might be worth watching if you're, like, a fan of fun footage, but I don't. If it's canceled, fine. If it's coming back, I don't really care. So resounding meh is what I'm saying.
Hmm.
So, but then, so way more exciting is that I finally started digging into my 20 film action pack that I got from Walmart.
Oh, sweet baby Lord.
So, do you guys want to hear about Airborne or Adrenaline Fear the Rush first?
Oof. Adrenaline.
Adrenaline without the E on the end. It's just Adrenaline.
Yeah.
So, first off, the title is, has nothing to do with anything that happens in the movie. There's no adrenaline, sweet. And there's no Fearing the Rush.
Good.
And it stars Christopher Lambert and Natasha Henstridge.
Yes, great start already. Oh, boy.
From Species, and then the guy from Highlander.
Yeah. Oh.
So I think the trailer is like, the star of Highlander and Mortal Kombat. Christopher Lambert.
I don't think anyone starred in Mortal Kombat, but whatever.
Yeah. So it is the far-flung future of 2007. In Boston, but like probably like 10 quotes around Boston, because everyone has like a crazy Eastern European accent, and like all the cars and like all the police cars and all the like police stations have like policia on them.
So it's like if Eastern European Pia like somehow invaded Massachusetts,
I guess, and then there was like a horrible like nuclear apocalypse. Well, actually, it's,
cool.
It's basically like the like what happened in Doomsday. Where they sealed off like the whole section of London, like England.
Wait, isn't that what we do to Boston already? Did we seal up?
Yeah. I forget. I can't remember. If it's like all of Boston or like all of like I can't remember what area sealed off, but they're just about sealed off, and then like all the infected people are still like in the city and going crazy, and like it's all rubble and ruins, and then you can like work for like you can either like work. For, like, community service and, like, earn your passport out of there, or you can, like, buy passports on this black market. So Natasha Henstridge is, like, working as, like, a police officer to try to, like, get a passport and get out. And it's, like, worse than, like, Detroit in RoboCop. Like, the police, like, drive...
Oh, boy.
The police drive around in, like, freaking, like, beat-up Volvos and shit. And they have, like, horrible radios.
Again, that's Boston. It's like, it's either modern-day Boston, or it's, like, currently... That's Boston or Detroit.
Yeah.
So, actually, Boston's doing a little bit better these days, but you get what I mean.
So, basically, the entire premise of the movie is that there's this crazy mutant killer running around, and it's just... Natasha Henstridge and her partner, like, are investigating, and he gets murdered, and then she, like, talks back up. It's like Christopher Lambert shows up, and he's, like, the... superstar of the police force, and he comes up with his squad, and they like, and then basically the entire movie is just like them, like the four cops just like chasing this guy through like ruins and like into an old prison, and him just like outsmarting them and like murdering them one by one.
So it becomes like a cop, future cop movie to like a stalker, serial killers type thing?
Yeah, chase, killer, stalker movie. And like, the stalker guy is, like, clearly, like, some sort of, like, bodybuilder or wrestler or something. Because he has, like, no lines. All he does is, like, walk around and hit people.
Sounds about
his
right.
Eyes look like, his eyes look like those, like, weird, like, the mints with the red stripes in them. Like, dinner mints.
Like the candy?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then,
so it's like kind of comical from a distance.
Well, like, they're constantly like zooming in on his eyes just to show like how crazy he is apparently or something. And there's also like a pair of like FBI agents like trying to like catch him because he has like they never explain like why they need to catch him, but like they said like, man, in 15 hours if he's still out there, the entire city is gonna go down in flames.
I believe it.
All tough guy talk.
So, but yeah, it's so horrible. The only unintentionally hilarious parts are like when the crazy serial killer guy gets like steals one of their guns and starts like shooting them. This is one part where Christopher Lambert like literally gets shot like 15 times and it's like he doesn't move. He's just like he's like on the ground just being shot by this guy and like one of like his like partners with him too and they're just like getting like shot like 50 times And he's like, they somehow survive it, both of them.
So they get RoboCop.
Yeah.
But then they live.
Well, it's all like in him, like he's getting shot in like his legs and his arms and like not like critical areas. It's like, oh, my arm. Oh, my shoulder.
So they got nothing vital. Is
yeah.
It?
And just like,
wow.
Like every time, like there's like two times there's a squad of like guys in like biohazard suits and like machine guns start like coming to like take this guy down. He just like murders him all like 2 seconds. I don't know. it felt like a Steven Seagal movie or something. Like, it definitely like, felt like it's from like Romania or something, like one of those like, Romanian movies. That was like a tax shelter or something.
Gotcha.
And then the other one is Airborne, which was surprisingly competent, but still pretty cheesy. But it's the fun kind of cheesy. So you have Steve Guttenberg as Bill McNeil, who is the leader of Mach 1, the Special Forces team.
It's funny because I'm just like, Airborne, it's like the same premise as fucking Firefight.
Actually, there's nothing Airborne about, like, I guess because they're trying to, like, get this virus that could go airborne, I guess. I don't know. They should just call it, like, Mach 1.
Well, I remember the trailer, like, they jump out of airplanes, that's like, or they're flying
yeah,
an airplane.
That's, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie. Because they get called in, like, Mach 1 gets called in to... There's a robbery of, like, this, like, orange, it's like orange-flavored, virus from The Rock. It gets stolen by Sean Bean from this, like, chemical lab. So, like, Mach 1 is, like, called in to, like, hijack their plane, like, steal the virus back. Like, it's, like, Executive Decision style, where, like, they have, like a stealth plane that they jump off from. They have, like, all sorts of, like, crazy future technology. They have, like heat vision goggles and, like crazy bombs and stuff. And this private, like, stealth fighter.
What year is this movie made again?
It's, like, 1998.
It's, like... I like how, like, the futuristic stuff they talk about is just, like, all these, like, dial-up connection error... technology.
Yeah, there's so much like they have like remote like they have like remote controls that can like they like just dial in a number and they can like start every car in a parking lot and stuff.
Oh man, the future of radio control.
And they have like built they have like screens in their cars that for like computer screens. It's like, oh my god, so futuristic. They have a touch screen in this Bonneville. Yeah, so they're trying to steal they get this virus back, and then like Sean Bean just starts like freaking schooling all of them, and like he murders one of them, and like almost murders all, you know, like the rest of the team. So he's like, man, there must be a mole on Mach 1. It's like, and like it seems like Gutenberg's being set up as the mole because like he's the only one that didn't get an assassination attempt on him.
But isn't he like the leader?
Yeah, but then like. Like the head of Mach 1 is this guy named Murdoch who's played by Kim Coates. He's like, man, McNeil, you're the only one who didn't have a murder attempt on you. What do you think about that? You're the suspicious one now.
Oh, I like everyone should be suspicious of Steve Guttenberg in the first place these days.
Yeah. Oh god,
if he shows up, something's wrong.
Like, he's, the entire time he's just trying to do, like, his most badass voice. Just like, yeah, I'm the badass. I'm a talking in a low voice the entire movie. I'm Steve Guttenberg.
You can't say that when you've been in 3 Police Academy movies. Your credibility as, like, a tough guy is out the window.
And, like, Big Green. And the Tower of Terror.
And 3 Gentlemen and a Lady. A 3 Men and a Lady. 3 Men. No, that was the prequel.
Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, that first movie, then the sequel.
Was he in, like, wasn't he in Parent Trap?
No, that was Dennis Quaid.
He was a, no, he was one of the, what was the Olsen Twins, like, the Olsen Twins when they switched parent, like, there's...
Oh, shit, I know which one you're talking about. It's like Parent Trap. It came out,
yeah,
like...
it's the same thing as Parent Trap.
Except as the Olsen Twins, yeah. Like, legit twins.
One of them is British. I don't know.
Anyway. See, when you start in that, it's like you can't be an action star.
Yeah. And the rest of the team is just like, it seemed like they weren't picked for like their weapons training or combat, they're trained for like how sassy they were. Because they're just like constantly like, they're like, all, every line they have, like, it's like a one-liner, or like, they're playing, like, we gotta play some blues before we start getting to this mission, man. Which is, of course, the black guy of the team. It's like, we gotta listen to some music.
See, but the thing is, that movie came out in the 90s, so that's appropriate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want, like, it wouldn't be any other way back then to not have these cliches.
So then basically the rest of the movie is, like, they're trying to, like, track down Sean Bean, and, like, Sean Bean's, like, blowing, trying to, like, kill them, and, like, trying to, he's, like, trying to sell, like, he's working for, like, this French arms dealer who's, like, trying to sell the weapons on the black market.
That's what you do. Is Sean Bean a scientist? Or...
He's just like a thief.
Okay, that's appropriate, Sean Bean. I mean, at least he doesn't die within the first 20 minutes of the movie, and then you're like, wait, who's the villain now? Twist.
Oh, yeah. He does have like a super abrupt death that's just like, okay, I thought there was going to be like an actual like fight between these guys, but I guess not. And there's a pretty cool, a guy gets like frozen by liquid nitrogen and like blows up.
Classic.
The magic of liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
I like how in the 90s that was like a death thing.
Wait, there's this thing that can freeze people and then they break and like you can see like the blood that's frozen in them?
Crystallized.
Yeah.
Stuff. They had that in Demolition Man. They had that in Time Cop.
Goldeneye.
Liquid nitrogen deaths, they're very... I haven't seen a lot of them recently. I haven't seen that in a while.
Because people are just like, whatever, liquid nitrogen, I'm just going to eat a marshmallow from it.
But just irritates your skin, gives you a blister.
Little smoke on my nose. So, I think keep an eye on the site, because I think I might try to like, do like a new feature where I possibly score some sort of scoring system, or just maybe like just review them or recap them, but... Like, really cheesy, forgotten in action movies, like Airborne, which is probably the first one.
Yeah. First off, Steve Goodman.
Yes. That was, like, that makes the entire movie. Just seeing Steve Gutenberg try to be an action star. no, one more thing is, like, The black guy gets killed, like, and then Stevie Rivers, there's like this like montage of him just like getting drunk and shirtless, just like, ugh, my friend, and he's like remembering something that happened like 5 minutes ago. So like, it's like this 10 minute montage, just like, I'm like, I remember when he was playing pool. He was such a good guy. Remember when he was playing pool 5 minutes ago?
Does he do this during like a weird jazz scene?
There's weird jazz playing.
Oh,
it's like
man.
Him and like the girl, like the token girl on the team, were like drinking like Jack Daniels or something. What are we gonna do? Actually, they should be like trying to like find Sean Bean or like investigate him, but they're like, we're just gonna get drunk and talk about our feelings.
More good.
So, yeah, so keep an eye on the site for a possible feature related to these movies, and definitely more of these movies on the way. As there's like 18 more, so.
You're a brave man, Zach.
Digging into such gems as like Shotgun Jones and the Pandora Project.
Shotgun Jones.
That's actually, if you want to get a taste of that movie, you can go on Everything is Terrible. And they did like a 3 minute movie of it.
I think I've seen that actually.
Alright, so that's all I've been watching, so I'm going to get into news. And there was quite a bit from last week and this week. So, first bit of news, the Ninja Turtles gate continues. So, earlier...
Just kill it.
Turtle Walk.
Mercy kill.
Yeah, Turtle Walk.
Mercy killings.
So, after last week when Michael Bay pissed off everyone by saying that the Turtles were aliens, and, like, everyone... Every single person related to this project basically had some sort of statement about it.
Everyone from the past, just like... I like how the interviews from, like, former stuntmen... Like,
I think,
the chick who played April O'Neil.
Well, like,
Casey Jones.
I think Kevin Eastman was, like, the one who's, like, really sarcastic about it. Like, yeah, it's a great idea, guys.
Yeah, that was really
and
funny.
And Laird was like, no, I mean, it's going to be good. I mean, we got the script. We're working on the script. I mean, you guys haven't seen the whole script yet, so it's going to be pretty good. We're expanding on the mythology. But I think...
I don't know,
he also said that, like, it's not going to be, like, there's a planet of turtles, which is good.
That's, like, my main concern, if it's,
Turtle
like,
World.
If they mimic fucking the Mighty Ducks cartoon
or like
show.
Power the Duck,
or, again, just any planet where it's, like, they're sort of humanoid,
yeah.
And they're doing what we do on Earth, except on a
it's wacky
animal twist to it.
With a twist!
Right, it just, like, that's automatically, like, retarded.
Auto-tard.
It's like, a Turtle Society wouldn't need, like, a fucking accountant, a sports team, and, like, a mechanic. Like, really weird human jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, at least not going with that angle. Maybe the ooze.
You guys have pizza?
But the fact that they're...
It's the natural food of the turtle world.
Pizza is everything there.
It's weird pizza, though. It's like marshmallow chocolate pizza.
Oh, did you hear how they're dropping the Teenage Mutant on top of it, too?
What? Yep, just Ninja Turtles.
That's the news that I had for this week. It's that now Michael Bay, so we had the alien stuff last week, now Michael Bay's like, said that the new title is just Ninja Turtles. So no teenage, no mutant.
Well, because they're not mutants, and they're probably not teenage. They're probably just going to be fucking turtle ninjas from fucking... Turtle Ninja World.
See, like, the thing about Teenage Mutant is that they're, like, still coming of age, so they're still learning about how to fight and, like, how to, you know, handle themselves. That's what's cool about the show.
And they're radical!
They're basically kids, man.
Yeah. And now it's like they're kind of adults, and they're just still, like, trying to struggle with society, and it's like, oh God. It's becoming
douchebag alien Ninja Turtles. Where the fuck's your green card? Turtle power.
They're gonna be like listening to like rap and stuff and like.
I'm telling you, they're gonna be hardcore black stereotypes. It's gonna happen.
Probably.
You'll see it when he said they're gonna be trendy and like fucking hip and edgy and lovable. I'm like, And in my head, I'm just picturing like fucking. I don't even know what, like...
Well, we said last week...
Martin Lawrence from the first House Party movie.
Well, we said, like, last week, did like, the racist Autobot twins.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
See, like...
It's like, yo, we learned y'all's language from B.A.T., man.
It's because... I swear to God, this is gonna happen. It's because I'm green.
Oh, my God.
As already uttered in the classic Jim Carrey's Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be there. It's because I'm green.
They're going to have, like, I can't think of anyone to do, like, the Turtle song.
Or instead of dropping, like, N-bombs, they're going to drop T-bombs. It's like, yo, what up, my turtle? Not much, my turtle. Yo, I shot that turtle in the face.
Mm-hmm. So we see, like,
Leroy, that turtle's broke. You know? It's gonna fucking happen. You'll see. You'll all see.
I don't know.
All I know is we need to find a fucking, like, Platinum Dunes board meeting where they're discussing this abomination of a movie and just fucking walk in and pull a Joker.
Or
just start, like, creepily laughing. They're like, who the fuck is that?
I said Project Valkyrie it.
Oh my God.
Not a bad idea. We could probably get the real Tom Cruise to do it, too.
Probably survive just like Hitler did.
Well, he's just as resilient, so I don't know. And he's apparently he's just as evil, too. I'm not totally sure. Almost try to kill off an entire race of people. Try to destroy my childhood. They're close. Mm-hmm. Close.
Assassination plot, Michael Bay. Mm-hmm. One thing about here's my last bit of the Ninja Turtles. When Superman came to Earth, he got a job. Like, he assumed a human identity, and he got his shit done, and got a job, like, reporting.
Turtles came to Earth,
and, like, if you get the Ninja Turtles, they're not teenagers anymore. They're not contributing to society. They're just hanging out in sewers.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I'm saying, like, don't make them aliens, and then don't make it like they can't, like, live in society, so they're just, like, banished.
They wear their, like, crazy human masks they wore in the cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That was funny.
No, I hope that doesn't become, like, a weird power. Like, if they bring that up, like,
they can shape shift.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
No, that actually seems feasible as a retard. Like, it's so retarded in my fork.
They're fucking golems. They're turtle golems.
That'd be an excuse for, like, casting just, like, we cast all these, like, popular stars, so they can shapeshift into people. So here's like Taylor Lautner. Like
oh my God, they like anamorph into turtles. Yep.
Bieber.
Oh.
Bieber.
And they'll just like transform into turtles like the last like 5 minutes for like the last fight scene.
Right.
The rest of the movie just like them just like wandering around as douchebags.
Right. It's like they get day jobs and they're just like regular actors and then it's like that are played by CGI turtles in the end. You see how retarded this could be? And this actually could be the fucking
Casey
movie.
Jones is going to be an astronaut.
Yes.
And he's going to go to, like, turtle... Or no, more accurately, Shredder is going to be an astronaut.
A ninja.
And he's going to find those fucking space turtles. And
it
then,
should be like Planet of the Apes, but with turtles.
I'm really not at all excited.
Hope this new cartoon is at least going to be kind of good.
Unless Danny McBride plays Splinter in this movie, I'm really not excited at all.
I forget who was doing I think they had some good voices for like the Nickelodeon cartoon. I can't remember who exactly it was, though.
Huh.
I don't know. Anyway, moving on to other news.
Fuck you, Michael Bay. Yeah. I'm coming for you.
What happened to you, Michael Bay? You used to be cool. Remember The Rock? And possibly Bad Boys. The action parts of Bad Boys 2. So, let's see. So anyway, moving on. So there's a remake of Carrie on the way. I don't know if we talked about that before, but there's a remake Carrie coming out of.
I think Brian talked about Carrie like a few months ago.
Yeah, the original, but did he mention there was like a remake or something?
No. Well,
because
I know there was like a 90s remake of it that didn't do too good.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
The Rage, Carrie 2.
The Heretic. So, yeah, so I can't remember who exactly is making this, but. So Chloe Moretz is actually going to be Carrie, aka Hit Girl, and other things. Was she,
Let's go with that.
She was just in something.
She's in Dark Shadows.
Yeah. And, oh, Hugo.
Oh. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Can't say. Is she old enough to be Carrie? Like. Isn't she, like, 14?
She's, like, 15 or 16. I don't know.
That's a little creepy, because it's right around when she, like, should be a girl, a woman, you know, coming into adulthood. So. It's cool, because everyone likes to see, like, everyone likes to see a movie where, you know, the bullied victim gets revenge. Mm-hmm. But Carrie, the original, was done in such a, like, cool 70s fashion that nowadays, like, it's just cyberbullying, you know? Like, is that the twist where it's like, they're just, like, sending her mean, like, emails?
Facebook posts.
Facebook post, and then she's like, ah, fucking kill them all!
She's a virus.
That would be a weird update where instead of, like, what was her power like? Did they even describe what Carrie's power was?
Like, besides, like, telekinesis.
Did I actually say that during the movie?
She moves shit with her mind. That's telekinesis.
I know, but, like, no one states that out.
What's Carrie's power? Horrible menstruation.
Well, have you ever seen just, the cover of Carrie? You assumed it was menstrual blood on her, just like, or some sort of blood. You're like, ah, it's just a woman's hormones going out of its whack. Mm-hmm.
It's like a really terrible fetish squirt.
This woman's so angry, blood shoots out of her eyes instead of her vagina.
Just rains blood.
Hey, you know, that's how you end every argument. Just like, trying to reason with a girl, that she just summons blood rain. You're like, okay, I guess it's over.
Mm-hmm. Your argument is invalid.
Right. How do you fight blood rain? You just turn around. You just have to leave.
So not really any more details about the new Carrie, but Claire Redson, she's a good actress.
Yeah, I just hope it isn't like a bully, because, you know, the whole point of Carrie is just bullying gone wrong. But, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a modern take on that these days that doesn't involve, like, a school shooting.
Yeah.
Or something, like, more horrifying.
Oh, Claire Redson was also in Let Me In.
Oh, yeah, as the quasi
vampire.
Girl, guy, vampire thing.
Yeah.
Just depending on which version you see, and it just gets weird.
So that's sort of related to Carrie. Similar problem, like teenage problems.
Well, actually, no. Let me in. I'll let the right one in. Like, is that's even worse because
it's like preteen.
Preteen, and just like, oh. Man, I saw the original, and that was, like, kind of hard to watch.
Because it was, like, those crazy Norwegians, and they're
not understanding of, like, age-appropriate actors. Or, like, just a horrifying reveal. You're like, oh, what did I just watch? Mm-hmm. Someone gonna knock on my door, and, like, you have child porn on your TV.
Chris Hansen.
Don't you have a seat?
So, anyway, moving on from that, we got word that Asylum's Godzilla, Mega Shark, is going to be back for his third outing, Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark.
Oh, man, guys, I don't know who to root for. Just kidding, Mega Shark, duh.
He is the best. He's already taking down Giant Octopus and Dino Croc.
Are those movies related?
Yeah, well, Asylum is the same I don't know if it's, like, the same Mega Shark, but it's, like, just, like, Mega Shark is, like, their Godzilla now. He's, like, fighting everyone.
Right, but I thought, what's her... Tiffany, that singer, like, isn't she...
I don't...
Like...
No, it was Debbie Gibson one, because we watched it, remember? go check the archive for that, for our live blog of that.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's, like, they're playing the same characters in each movie.
No, because the first one had Debbie Gibson, and the second one had Jaleel White. The second one was also Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, not Dino Croc. So I'm just wondering, like, I want to know, like, what Mecha Shark, like, why is there a Mecha Shark?
It's probably from the future.
Or, like, you know? They built it to fight, because Mega Shark is just, like, destroying it, like, running rampaging over the city and, like, destroying, ripping more airplanes out of the sky. Like, jumping 100 feet in the air, ripping airplanes out.
Well, what was the Mecha Octopus? Like, how did that...
They were both from, like, prehistoric times. They got frozen in an iceberg. And then, a bunch of, like, suicidal whales unleashed them because they broke the iceberg.
Oh, God. So, like, anything could happen.
Basically, this,
you know? It's just, as soon as you come up with one plot, like, it's just the opposite of that, you know?
I wonder who's starring in this, too. Like, what washed-up stars are they going to find for this?
Gary Busey.
You know, he's in demand for, like, TV shows. I don't know. I think he might be above this.
He's in Piranha.
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey and David Hasselhoff.
Steven Guttenberg.
Yeah, Steve Guttenberg. Yeah, what is he doing?
Steve Guttenberg. He's perfect for this something crazy like this.
Oh, what about Dennis Quaid? We can, reenact Jaws 3.
Stan Quaid's still getting a daily paycheck, for things.
I guess. But he's also, Beneath the Darkness or whatever the hell that movie, that direct-to-DVD movie. And, weird, direct-to-DVD, he's in, Legion and shit. So that'll probably be on Sci-Fi, premiere on Sci-Fi, then be on direct-to-DVD sometime this year. Possibly next year, I don't know. I don't think the turnaround is pretty fast, I'm assuming, on that.
Props.
It probably takes them a week to shoot it. And a week for special effects.
Sounds about right.
So, probably the biggest news, at least for us, or I know for me, is super exciting, but Clerks the Animated Series might be back in next year.
War Jedi!
Yeah, so apparently Kevin Smith said on his Twitter that he and Miramax, the new Miramax, are talking about possibly doing an episode a week on some sort of maybe Netflix or Hulu or something like that.
That's cool.
That show was so ahead of its time.
It was. Yeah. The problem.
They picked the worst network to possibly be on, ABC.
Yep.
Ugh. Talk about, corporate just hey, the kids are talking about this. Let's buy the rights and just try to make a family-friendly version.
Yeah.
What is your administration plan to do about the Grimace? Nothing can stop the Grimace.
Who are you supposed to be? I'm Big Mac, the local constable. Oh, my God.
Constable.
I can't... every episode of that show is so great.
I agree.
I hope they get Alec Baldwin back and... Leonardo.
Oh man, the episode where it's Last Starfighter mixed with Bad News Bears mixed with Temple of Doom. And the clip show where they're flashing back to the first episode because that's the only one that aired. And of course where Dante gets sued. And it ends with the Korean animators ending.
Oh yeah. Who's driving so
car?
Funny.
Bear driving car. How is that possible? Tom Cruise, show me the money. You can handle the truth. I mean, hopefully that's true, and hopefully they'll have a little more I should have more leeway to be maybe get closer to what Clerks. What, actually is.
Yeah. Well, depending on the network.
They want to make, Jay and Silent Bob freaking, fireworks dealers and stuff. Well, that's part of the hilarity of the show, is just, how they try to feel like make it, kid-friendly, or, average viewer-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have things like Family Guy around, so they don't have to be that family friendly.
Clerks was Family Guy before Family Guy started.
Right, a good 10 years.
Yeah. Because it was just such super rapid fire, just random gags. Oh man, last episode of that show was so great too. It was inside the where they're trying to. They're answering fan mail and someone make it more like the Clerks the movie. So it's just inside the convenience store entire time, but it's outside was oh my god, there's a carnival! Jay and Sam Bob just popping in there's a gorilla running around and beating people up!
Yeah.
There's an ice cream truck tipped over and they're giving away free ice cream! Yeah, so hopefully that's coming back. And then, in the meantime, you can, if you haven't seen the show, you can pretty much watch every episode on YouTube.
Why is that not on Netflix?
I thought I saw it there once, but... It's definitely on YouTube. Some people have put, they're divided... Each episode's divided into, three videos, but they're all on YouTube. And I guess no one cares.
I care.
We all care. So, I guess the last bit of news is that, so the new Jack Ryan movie that's been in development for a couple years now. I think last we heard it was Chris Pine starring as Jack Ryan. Oh, is he going to? He's like, it was in Russia. It was like Jack Ryan's like early days at the CIA.
Wasn't that called Sum of All Fears?
No, they're gonna call it like Moscow or something.
Moscow
original.
It's gonna be like way more like way less action, more like spy investigation sort of thing.
So I guess no Nicolas Cage.
No, unfortunately, no. Unless he's like the bad guy.
Damn.
He's like some like crazy Russian bad guy. He's Dr. Fu Manchu.
My name's Dimitri.
Oh man. He like Nicolas Cage has to do that sometimes. Just be like a crazy Russian.
comrade.
He's definitely like he is definitely not enough a villain enough.
No.
Maybe in, like, a couple years when he turns, like, even becomes, like, in, like... Because, like, a lot of people are, like, the weird, like, I'm just going to be a villain for the rest of the... right from now on.
Well, yeah. Sean Bean broke out of that. Like, Sean Bean used to be a villain in his earlier career. Now he's actually, like, quasi-good guy.
Yeah.
That he always gets killed.
Like, it depends on, like, if it's, like, some people, like, it's the beginning of their career, it's not, it's, like, the end of it. But, like, I'm gonna have fun and go crazy. But anyway, so Kenneth Branagh is actually in talks to direct this new Jack Ryan movie.
What did he direct?
Most recently, Thor.
Oh, I thought that was just part of like that super Marvel leftover director teams.
No, he's also doing a bunch of Shakespeare adaptations like Hamlet and Henry VIII, was it? One of the Henry movies. He's also started a bunch of Shakespeare and British.
No, I think I remember the actor. He's
Henry
the
Fifth.
He was also in Harry Potter,
yes,
too.
As the
yeah, that guy.
Gilderoy Lockhart.
Gilderoy, yeah. We know our nerd fans.
Yeah, we also we have IMDb open. Yeah, so he's directed Henry V and a bunch of Do About Nothing and Hamlet and Thor.
It's weird because he's actually like a very veteran actor, mm-hmm. and then it's like comical kids movie.
He also directed and starred in the Robert De Niro Frankenstein movie.
Yeah, I think he was.
He was Dr. Frankenstein.
Was he?
Yeah,
I'm confusing that one and the one with Ralph Julia, and the one where he's like, it's a Frankenstein movie, and John Hurt was in it.
Hmm.
It's a really weird one. I'll talk about it later. But anyway,
wait, this is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein,
right?
So yeah, so he's directing the new, or in talks to direct the new Jack Ryan movie.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that then.
Yeah,
it really depends on the director.
That series has been dormant for a while.
Why is it every like 10 years we just need a like they just need to make a new one? Is it because you know? Because
people are just like sitting around like, hey, you know what was cool? Those Jack Ryan movies.
Yeah, they were good with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So like after that, it's yeah.
Well, it's Hunt for October, then like the two Harrison Ford ones, then Ben Affleck, and then Ben Affleck killed that series.
It wasn't just him; it was a team effort.
Yeah, that they're not my favorite. Like I like them. I'm not like a super fan of either. Like any of them. I'd say Humphrey October is probably my favorite one. Either like Humphrey October or Patriot Games is probably my bad leg for number one.
Which one has the one with Sean Bean is the
Patriot,
IRA?
Patriot Games.
It's Patriot Games,
yeah.
Okay. And I forget Humphrey October. Doesn't star, that just has
Alec Baldwin and Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, yeah, I forgot that's part of it, because I just didn't think Hunter Red October, I just think Sean Connery.
English-Russian.
And with,
Pings.
And Grant.
Yep.
This is, like, second in command.
One ping. use the silent drive. So that's pretty much it for news. Was there anything else you saw, Chris?
Nope, not really.
Some awesome videos you probably, like on our Facebook page you should probably go check out, or on the website, like the new Tenacious D promo video for the new album.
I thought they were just like music videos, but
It's like the end of his music video, but it's like there's like 4 minutes of build up. Where it's like after Pick of Destiny, like Cage went crazy and like got locked in a mental institution, and like Jack became like super pretentious asshole. Became like Hollywood Jack. And he, like he's like hanging out with Val Kilmer and stuff in his like huge mansion.
Oh, well, speaking of Val Kilmer, did you see Val Kilmer as Mark Twain?
No.
In that new Mark Twain? Yeah. There's these pics online of Val Kilmer dressed as Mark Twain for this new Mark Twain movie.
Is it going to be like Mark Twain, Sea Monster Fighter or something?
No. No, it's actually just like his biography of the movie. But is that like a thing? Is that like
no.
Mark Twain's Sea Monster Fighter? Or like what is his real name? Like Samuel Clemens or something?
I'm trying to think of, like, who Mark Twain would fight. Maybe, like, voodoo.
Probably mummies. They were popular back in his time.
That'd be good alliteration. Mark Twain, mummy, mauler.
Mummy hunter. Mummy masher.
Yeah. Mark Twain versus the mummy. Anyway, so when we get into the newest roundup, we can wrap this thing up for the week.
Gotcha.
Pick of the week, South Park season 15, which was the last season that was on.
Still going strong.
Yep. I can't remember. I'm trying to get like an idea of what episodes were on. Oh yeah, we had like Human Sentai Pad. There was Funny Bot, which had like where like the Germans build the Dalek comedian that everyone loves.
I'm usually a season behind on South Park.
Carmen invented crack baby basketball.
I saw that from the trailer, like crack baby basketball. Mm. Kyle or Stan was like, "I'm out."
Yeah. There's the Broadway episode. There's Carmen joins the Border Patrol. There's the crazy, like weirdly serious season finale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are some really awesome episodes. Still one of the best shows. I haven't had a chance to check out any of the new episodes, though. Have you seen any of them, Chris?
I just saw the one where Stan's dad has the divorce.
Yeah, that was last season. Because, season 16 just started, 2 weeks ago.
Then that's the only, that and maybe, one random one from the past. The one with, Jersey Shore.
That was, I think, it was,
the Jersey.
That might have been two seasons ago.
See, I don't keep up with it too much.
Yeah, it's weird to know what season you're in because it's we're on for 6 months, then we're gone for a year, and then we're coming back for 4 episodes. So we also have Alf and the Chipmunks Shipwrecked out this week.
Oh.
I think everyone Jason Lee and David Cross are they're out of their contracts now, so it can go on to horrible directed DVD movies.
You know, who's watching these movies besides young kids? Is there a secret?
It's
older gentleman club watching just, this or something
it's
like this?
Like a free hour. It's pay for an hour and a half of babysitting for your kids at the movie theater.
It's like this and Smurfs.
Yeah.
You know.
It's pretty much every kid's movie, Lorax and Journey 2.
Well, the Lorax actually is pretty good from what I've heard. But for every good CGI kind of kid's movie, there's always, a Yogi Bear. Yeah, a Yogi Bear or...
I remember, Tooth Fairy was super packed when it was out.
Oh, man. I thought The Rock was gonna... That was his last movie.
I don't know. Jack and Jill, it's pretty busy, even though it's not really a kid's movie, but...
Not the way Joe described it.
Yeah.
not the way I wanted it to turn out to be.
That you're writing that fan fiction or whatever. Your bizarre fan fiction.
Jack and Jill, mm-hmm. they make them a hell spawn yeah. of a baby together.
So, also we have Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, probably one of the most hated Oscar nominees of all time.
Yeah, why is that hated again?
It's like split, like 50, it's like 50% Rotten Tomatoes, like half people just absolutely hate it, and everyone, half the people like, oh my god, it's so sweet and moving. The best review is the AV Club, though, I think. We're talking about how like, it turned 9/11 to like some tweet, like a hipster, like kid, like journey, like made it like the most. I can't remember exactly where it was. Something like a turned 9/11 into like charm fest or something.
If your pivotal point of 9/11 is like in your movie and you make it charming, you just made a wrong movie. Like, you just made a very weird comedy.
It's like, I'm so glad 9/11 happened so I can go on this whimsical journey across New York City with my rape tangerine. I think this is a safety tambourine because he's like every, like, neurotic personality disorder you could possibly imagine.
Which is the was that the Rotten Tomato review of just someone saying that like this white kid goes to these rough neighborhoods and bangs a tambourine in the middle of the night?
Yep. Well, he walks from like some like if you live in New York City like if you like know where he's walking, like apparently it's like the worst neighborhood that you possibly walk through, and it takes like a day to get through it, day to get there. He walks in like an hour.
Ugh. Yeah, that's on my mind.
It's 9/11 through the eyes of a caffeinated 9-year-old hyper contributor. Is what the AV Club says. So yeah. Anyway, that, everyone hated that. They got nominated for Oscars and stuff. Also, this week we have the 70th anniversary of Casablanca on Blu-ray.
Ooh. Your parents probably boned to it. Oh. that should be on the tagline of the box, mm-hmm. like in the back. It's like, your grandparents probably boned to this, and your parents probably boned to this, so you should be.
Some so weird like, tradition.
So check it out.
We also have The Bodyguard on Blu-ray.
Oh.
Cashing in,
yeah.
Dragonheart is also on Blu-ray.
Why?
Just because awesome, I don't know. Sean Connery's a dragon.
I guess. The more I think about that movie, the more I'm like, they could have done so much better. Did you ever see the sequel? The, like, weird...
A New Beginning or whatever the hell it's called?
I didn't see it, but I saw the box art, and I was like, oh, God. Yeah. It's also, like, 12 years later, too.
I don't know, Dennis Quaid. Speaking of Dennis Quaid, that we were talking about earlier, with, like, his crazy... I think he's trying to do a British accent, but...
Was yeah. he? He was just being drunk, because that's what he sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he was drunk movie. British. Against drunk British Sean Connery.
Dragon, yeah. I used to be Bond. Like, oh, you used to be. Now you're a talking dragon.
Dragon. Money Penny.
Was his name just Draco in the yeah. movie?
Well, you can't say it like you wouldn't be able to talk, say his name in Dragon or whatever. So he's like, I'm gonna call you Draco,
which is means dragon yeah. in Latin. So it's redundant.
Draco, I like that. So, also on Blu-ray, The Quest, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes, it's just like Kickboxer and Bloodsport, except...
The Forgotten, like, part 3 of the yeah. Van Damme Tournament Fighter trilogy.
Oh, man.
We also have Mystery Science Theater, volume 13, and I have not seen any of the episodes that are on this set.
Was it like their later years?
Oh, we got King Dinosaur.
Yep, I never heard of
Castle
these.
Castle of Fu Manchu.
I've heard a lot of Fu Manchu ones, but not that
Codename
one.
Codename Diamond Head.
I don't know what that means.
And Last of the Wild Horses.
That sounds like a crappy romance novel.
It's apparently like a horrible western that they watched. So we also have Eureka, season 4.5. It's on Sci-Fi. People like it, apparently.
It's still going on for 4 seasons? Yeah. That's still pretty impressive.
4.5 seasons, apparently. A Dangerous Method is out, which is David Cronenberg directed a movie about Sigmund Freud and... Who is the other guy? Oh, Carl Jung, of course. And it's Viggo Mortensen and Michael Fassbender as Jung and Freud.
Cool.
It'd be cooler if it was like The Prestige. Our first kind of boring.
Oh, any hope's gone now, Zach. You ruined it.
There's like battling each other with like my, like I'm gonna use psychology on you, mind games.
Is it supposed to be like a comedy?
Yeah,
or
it's
is
like
it...
a sort of like bio drama.
See, these days, if you're gonna do like a weird retelling of historic people, it's like it's either action or comedy now. Like it can't be like History Channel Presents kind of thing.
From the Criterion Collection, we have A Night to Remember, which was Titanic before Titanic came out. I think it's from like the 50s or 60s. That's about the Titanic sinking. In the Land of Blood and Honey is out, the directorial debut of Angelina Jolie, about the war in Bosnia and stuff.
Is that actually, did that do well?
I think it came out in like super limited theater. I think it got a little bit of buzz. I don't remember though. UFC Best of 2011, 30 matches. I don't know, we need Joe here. I'm not sure what fights are out here, but it's like, there's Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, George St. Pierre. All the big names
cool.
from the UFC. And
it's like they're downtown, they're actors.
Some of them. And then the last thing coming out this week is Corman's World, which is the documentary about Roger Corman. Who is basically responsible for like modern day Hollywood. Because he started like the careers of like James Cameron and just a ton of other people.
Oh, you read that crack article too? Like how Mr. Corman like changed modern cinema. Mm-hmm. Man, he gave everyone a chance to just make movies.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro,
Martin Scorsese.
Just like he made like so many crazy like Death Race 2000 and the original Piranha and Caged Heat, Chopping Mall. So many classics. Actually, they have pretty awesome documentaries. I might check it out sometime this weekend. So that is it for new releases. So anything else, Chris, before we wrap this thing up for the week?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay. So if you want more from us, go to www.everythingaction.com. We got, man, just a ton of stuff going up this week. We have the first edition of Brian's weekly Mad Men recaps. Have a Seat are going up every Monday. We got review of Hunger Games. We got musical montage is a winner this week. We're highlighting the music from Last Dragon.
There was music in Last Dragon?
That's one of the main like memorable things about it, because it was Berry Gordy, who is the guy who produced it, was also the founder of Motown Records. He used The Last Dragon basically to like promote like a bunch of his like up and coming artists.
Yeah, I didn't remember anything from that soundtrack.
Like the entire music video for Elton Barge's Rhythm of the Night is in that movie for no reason. Hmm. And also, like, Vanity and Charlene. And, like, the return of Willie Hutch, Motown legend, doing the song The Glow.
I remember The Glow, but that's because of what, that event in the movie. But
it made, like Vanity made, like, the Bruce Lee music video to, like, impress Bruce Leroy. He's like, oh my god, it's Bruce Lee on the TV! It's like, I don't care about you, hot chick. Shut up, Bruce Lee's on the TV.
No, man, he's my favorite icon of, like... Well, that movie come out last year, like,
85, I think, something like that. 85,
so a good, like... Good, like, a few year gaps,
like,
you know?
Like, it's just... basically, like, in, hey, Bruce Lee, I want to go in the back and I'll show you some dance moves, quote unquote. He's like, hey, Bruce Lee, like, shut up. I'm watching this.
Bruce Leroy, aw.
You're so naive and stupid.
Didn't they say they're making a sequel? Or they're making a remake of Last Dragon?
I think they said that a while ago.
It's just in writer limbo.
Like Samuel Jackson was supposed to be involved with it somehow.
Show
like,
enough. Oh man.
Show enough? We should do a commentary of that movie sometime.
Yeah, but pretty much half the jokes write themselves.
Show enough? The Shogun of Harlem?
Yeah, half the people in that set Shogun of Harlem. They just did not know what a Shogun was. They just looked it up real quick and went, okay, good enough, Shogun.
It's weird, like weird 80s Harlem where like everyone's obsessed with like martial arts.
And breakdancing. Yeah. It's the fusion of crunk, yeah. Almost.
The beginning
and
of crunk.
A weird... Wasn't there, like, a weird... Yeah, the main villain's a weird, like, manager. An evil Jewish manager.
He's an evil arcade owner / record producer.
He's an arcade owner,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he owns an arcade. That's why he made all his money. Now he's,
I thought he was a dance club owner.
Now he's trying to, like, promote, like, his girlfriend's horrible album. And he wants Vanity to play it on her, like dance show. Like, 80s dance show. Like, all the hot new videos. And she's like, I don't want to play your girlfriend's stupid video on my show. He's like, alright, I'm going to murder you.
That's just what you do yeah. In the music business, I guess. Man, the 80s is a rough and cuff time.
It was.
Didn't have YouTube. This is what happened.
It was the only way to see all the hot new music videos.
You had to go to a damn dance club to watch the new music video.
Yeah. Only way to stay in the know. If you're going to see it, you murder someone.
Or you hire Shonuff.
Yeah, he hired like phone. Every single like mercenary / hitman in the entire city. Just like go murder this girl. Go murder Vanity.
This girl and her friend. Wait, didn't she have a brother? Or was that just a young
person? Mercenary had a brother.
Oh.
And they owned a pizza shop. God, it would be so awesome.
Oh, man.
So anyway, Last Dragon Music's on the site. Okay, we off that tangent. And, what else? Actually, speaking of, watching movies on the site, if you go on there, it should be up by now, but you can watch the entire Chuck Norris movie, Silent Rage. Thanks to Crackle.com. Have you seen Silent Rage, Chris?
Is that the one where he's a woodsman?
No. I believe that's like Forest Warrior or something. Silent Rage, it's Chuck Norris is like a sheriff and he like kills this axe murderer. But then Ron Silver takes the axe murderer and brings him to his like science lab and they like revive him Frankenstein style, and like, but then he like escapes from like, murdering all the scientists.
That's what you do.
So Chuck Norris has to like go fight this like Frankenstein monster, and the final fight is amazing because it's just like it's basically like a commercial for like Chuck Norris action jeans.
Oh man, you could bend at the hip.
Yeah, just like slow motion shots of him like doing like back spinning back kicks and stuff in roundhouses. So you can watch the entire thing on MTH.com, in addition to like all of our other crazy features that we go every week. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action for our Facebook page. You can like us on there. See news stories and random videos we find from around the way. We put them on our Facebook page. And also stuff on the site goes up there. You can so you can check it out as it goes up as well. Something on the Facebook page is not on the website is the latest example of Arnold's amazing commentary. And this time it's for Terminator 3. Arnold's doing commentary for.
I'm just like, who's encouraging Arnold? Like, yeah, Arnold, like come and like get drunk and let's do some commentary. It's like, oh, okay, yeah,
this was a good scene. I was hanging from a fire truck. We smashed through some buildings. That was pretty fun. Oh yeah, this scene, it's pretty dark out. I'm wearing sunglasses, and I couldn't see anything really well.
The sunglasses don't work so well when you wear them during the day, huh?
It's like that. What is that 80s song? I wear my sunglasses at night so I can't see the thing that comes at me or something. I don't know what it was, but I danced to that in the clubs in Germany or Austria. So yeah, so good stuff on the Facebook page. Good stuff on the Twitter account as well. Twitter.com/EVAction for our Twitter feed. You can follow us on there. You can see us retweet a bunch of news stories and funny stuff we find on Twitter. News stories from the site go up there. You can follow those as well. Retweet anything you find. If you see anything cool from us and you want to retweet it, that'd be cool. We're also on iTunes. If you want to go to the iTunes View Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the Podcast Center, rate us, leave comments. Give us some, if you have like a spare 5 minutes, give us a review. Even if it's like 1 star, we just want to hear some thoughts on the podcast. So head over to iTunes and review us. And you can also get our app on iTunes for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's free. Gives you the last 20 news stories on the site. You can listen to the podcast on there as well. So definitely check that out, download that. And you can email us at contact@everything.com. So for Chris and Joe and Brian, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.